In the darkness of space, a glowing curved line appears, then shafts of light emanate from the countries on planet Earth. A vast set of heavy-looking white letters encircles the globe, spelling the word Universal. A powerful white light shines from the top of a vast grey tower. The tower is ornately designed with three glowering faces sculpted into its surface at opposing angles. Dark grey storm clouds surround the tower. The central section of the tower drops mechanically as a powerful beam of white light shines up towards the cloudy grey sky. A bright flash sends a shower of debris from the tower's top as a ball of blue light shoots into the sky and hangs above the tower. A dozen grimy ships hover above the city that spreads out beneath the tower. Soldiers in helmets and armor, resembling the tower's design, observe from steps above the city.
They are an army, unlike any other, crusading across the stars toward a place called Underverse, their promised land, a constellation of dark new worlds. Necromongers, they're called. And if they cannot convert you, they will kill you. Leading them, the Lord Marshal. He alone has made a pilgrimage to the gates of the Underverse and returned a different being. Stronger, stranger, half alive and half something else.
The Lord Marshal pushes an ornate plunger. The ball of light becomes a swirling black vortex that engulfs the tower. A massive explosion erupts across the surface of the planet.
If we are to survive, a new balance must be found. In normal times, evil would be fought by good. But in times like these, well, it should be fought by another kind of evil.
Many similar explosions erupt around the planet. From blackness, words hewn out of rock appear, spelling the film's title, The Chronicles of Riddick. A long-haired bearded man in dark goggles and ragged clothes runs across rocky ridges into heavy oncoming snowfall. The ridges resemble a huge maze which the man negotiates at speed. Mountains rise in the distance. A caption reads, UV system, planet 6. On a ship.
Lining them up for you. Four side shot coming up. Steady, here we go.
The powerful ship roars above the running man. A gunner hanging off the wing takes aim with a net gun.
Steady. Take it. Take it! Take a shot!
The spiked net misses.
Shit! Tombs, we're running out of road!
Shut up! I got it! I can't!
Another miss. The man sprints towards a narrow pass.
No!
The man spiked in the leg. Tombs pilots his ship to a stop by the pass entrance. It hovers before the burly man who rips the spike from his leg and turns to face Tombs' ship, holding a curved knife in each hand. The ship's floodlight comes on.
Riddick.
Riddick turns and runs.
I don't know, Tombs. Looks kind of tight.
Not where I'm sitting. This is the biggest payday ever. So throw on a fresh pair of panties. Let's get this right.
Tombs pilots his ship into the narrow pass. Riddick climbs an icy wall using his knives.
3 meters clearance port side, 1.5 meters starboard. We got a choke point coming up.
As the ship slowly glides past an outcrop, Riddick appears and slices the gunner's supporting straps with his knives. The gunner falls to his death. The straps hang loose.
Tags, you got eyes on Riddick?
Tags?
Tombs turns and spots the other gunner's straps hanging loose. Tombs spins the ship around. The stubbly navigator looks anxious.
Jesus. He just ghosted two guys and I never even saw him. What do you think, Tombs? I mean, maybe we ought to just...
I think you're my new gunner. Grab a gat.
The navigator clasps hold of a heavy machine gun and leans from a hatch as the ship continues through the dark pass.
Stay stay on top of him this time.
As the navigator squints into the falling snow, Toombs pilots the ship upwards. Riddick stands on top of the ship, then reaches down and grabs the navigator, then throws him from the hatch. As the navigator hits the snowy ground below, Toombs looks round at his empty ship, then flicks some switches. He puts the ship in hover mode.
You made three mistakes.
Riddick's on board.
First, you took the job. Second, you came light. A four-man crew for me is fucking insulting. But the worst mistake you made... That's right. Empty gun rack.
Riddick swoops and beats Toombs to the floor.
What's a bounty on my head?
1 mil.
Riddick holds his knife out.
1.5. What slam pays 1.5 for a convict?
Private party.
Hey, guy, easy. Anonymous, that's what the sheet said.
What planet?
Helion Prime.
As Riddick ponders, Toombs leaps up and confronts him. Riddick wields his knife.
Whoa, where you going? Last question. And you better get this one right, Merc. Whose ship is this?
Mine.
Wrong answer.
As the navigator gets up below, Toombs hits him from above. Riddick pilots the ship through the pass. The ship exits the pass at high speed and barrels upwards through the dark grey storm clouds. In deep space, the ship's auto-navigation radar reads, Helion Prime.
Knew they'd come for me. Took them 5 years, but I knew. You don't expect these mercs to have any honor, any code. But this new bounty from a holy man. The guy whose neck I saved. Well, lesson learned. No such word as friend. Can only end bad when you let someone get too close. Bad for them. So now it's back to civilization. All the brightness and everything I hate. Just wanted to be left alone.
Unrecognized craft, you need to follow me to Spaceport 6 for security inspections. Hey, do you hear me? Follow me to Spaceport 6 now.
Riddick, who's been rudely awoken from deep sleep, sits at the controls of Toombs' ship. A pilot gestures downwards from the cockpit of his fighter.
Follow this.
Riddick dips, then rams the fighter from below. The fighter spins out of control as Riddick turns the ship downwards and spirals through the clouds. Riddick pilots the grungy-looking craft across the turquoise seas of the planet's surface. He glides over sandbanks rolling between thin towers until the skyline of a city rises up over the horizon. The city sits beneath a dull brown sky, the towers lining the river leading up to it are topped by golden orbs. A caption reads, Helion System, Planet, Helion Prime. A massive building with three pillars supporting a curved roof structure towers over the rest of the city. Boomerang-shaped fighters arrow between buildings, watched by soldiers wearing domed helmets with red neck scarves. In the bustling streets, Imam, a tall, handsome 40-something man with glasses and a beard, strides through the crowds. He enters a building. He heads for a staircase. Hair falls to the tiles.
Did you know all your doors were locked?
Imam stops at the foot of the stairs. Riddick dips his knife into a bowl of water.
5 years ago, I took two people off that planet. A kid, Jack, who everyone else thought was a boy. And a holy man. Searching for New Mecca.
Muscular Riddick shaved his head. Imam glances at a balcony above them.
I told one man where I might go. I showed trust to one man. Did I make a mistake, Iman.
There is no simple answer. Whatever was said was meant to give us a chance. A fighting chance. Were it not for the threat of invasion, I never would have betrayed you. Give you my word, Riddick.
Riddick.
A woman and child look down. The young girl heads for the stairs.
No.
Whose name would be?
If you have issue with me, let it be with me. You need not know their names.
Ziza. My name is Ziza.
Ziza. QK.
Did you really kill monsters? The ones that were gonna hurt my father?
Such are our bedtime stories.
Go, Ziza. Go on.
Imam's wife, Lejeune, sneers at Riddick, then follows Ziza.
Now, who do I have to kill to get this payday off my head?
Three men in cowls head down a covered street outside. They pass a window in the wall that looks out over the city and up to a milky white comet that travels through the night sky.
It is said, the comet always precedes them. These world enders.
Riddick's in Imam's house.
The Kolsak planets are gone. 8 million settlers missing. The entire Aquilan system is gone too. My God, how do I save my family? Have you heard anything I've said?
Said it's all circling the drain, the whole universe, right?
That's right.
Sitting in a chair, Riddick spots Ziza peering through an ornate screen. He moves the door to conceal himself.
Had done some time.
Riddick's eyes have glowing silver pupils. The hooded men knock on Imam's door. Imam lets them in and they remove their hoods. Their heads are covered by underhelmets with scarves around their mouths.
The one you want is now here.
Riddick closes the door, then turns to the three men. He whips the scarf from one of their mouths, then watches as the other two swarthy men lower their face scarves. A woman appears from thin air.
Whose throat is this?
If you cut my throat, I'll not be able to rescind the offer that brought you here. Nor tell you why it's so vital that you did come.
The blade comes off when the bounty comes off.
This is Arion. An envoy from the elemental race. She means you no harm.
Graceful Arion spins into thin air and reappears behind them.
There are very few of us who have met a necromonger and lived to speak of it. So when I choose to speak of it, you should choose to listen.
Necromonger.
It is the name that will convert or kill every last human life, unless Furian warriors are found. They were the one race that would not bow. The only race the necromongers still fear.
Maybe you should pretend like you're talking to someone educated in the penal system. In fact, don't pretend.
There is a story, Riddick, of young male Furians strangled at birth, strangled with their own cords. When Arion told this story to the Helion leaders, I told her of you.
What do you know of your early years?
Do you remember your home world? Where it was.
Have you met any others?
Others like yourself.
Riddick glares at Arion.
Sister, they don't know what to do with just one of me.
Spoken like a true Furian.
I don't care where I'm from. I want the bounty off my head.
Open up in there!
Soldiers hammer on the door outside.
They are searching houses.
Shh!
They look for a man who came here today. They think he might be a spy.
A spy?
Did someone see him come here today? Did they?
Lejeune, stop.
I will send them away. But wait 1 minute, please. Will you wait 1 minute to save Wells?
Not my fight.
So, you will leave us to our fate. Just like you did her.
Break it down!
The soldiers break in.
Come, let us try to send them away.
Riddick watches from the window.
Come on!
Leave us alone!
Go!
There is no one here!
You don't understand! You can help us! You can help us!
The soldiers file upstairs. A soldier opens the door on Riddick, who, back turned, raises his hands.
You're not afraid of the dark, are you? The light hurts my eyes.
Riddick snuffs the candles, then, using his night vision, he attacks the panicking soldiers. Soldiers fire their guns in the dark. Riddick thumps them with a candlestick.
Where is he? In there!
Riddick leaps from the rafters and kicks a soldier through the door. Outside on the landing, a young soldier holds Imam against the banister with a long knife. The soldier quakes as Riddick slowly approaches and glares. The soldier lets go of Imam and drops the knife. The soldier nips off down the stairs.
You mentioned her.
She went looking for you. People died. She went to prison. I'm not sure where. It was a world so hot, you couldn't set foot on the surface.
Crematoria.
Young Jack. She thought of you as her older brother. She worshipped you.
You were supposed to watch her.
She never forgave you for leaving. Just when she needed you most.
She needed to stay away from me. You all do.
Outside. Riddick turns to look at little Zizar.
Are you gonna stop the new monsters now?
Riddick looks up into the sky, then turns and heads off down the street. He pulls his hood up over his shaven head. Arion appears on a balcony overhead.
Furious. Defiant to the end.
Transparent elemental Arion's silky headscarf ripples around her fine white hair. In space, the comet heads on a downward trajectory, leaving a milky white trail behind it. Close up, within the comet's body, the Necromunga's towers spin slowly around. A convoy of starships travels in their wake. On Helion Prime, Imam puts an arm around Lajun on the street. Missiles are fired into the sky. Crowds of people point upwards from the streets. Lajun turns to go. Imam grabs her arm.
We go to the shelter. We take only ourselves.
Wearing his goggles, Riddick sprints along a rooftop. Imam drags Lajun and Ziza through the crowded streets. Imam picks Ziza up and carries her. As flak and rockets explode in the night, Riddick leaps a gap between buildings. Riddick tumbles onto a rooftop and looks up into the night. A massive Necromunga's tower arrows past him and hits the ground nearby. The explosion reflects in the lens of Riddick's goggles. Then a wide black cloud billows across the city from the explosion's center. The massed panicking crowds, including Imam, Lajun and Ziza, are plunged into darkness as the power goes citywide. The Necromunga's dark grey ships hove across the sky above the city. Smaller fighters flank a gigantic base ship.
Flight leaders, get all squads off the ground now. We have heavy inbound.
Helion ships take off and attack the Necromunga's. Imam leads his wife and child through the streets below. A Necromunga opens fire on a Helion fighter. A Helion fighter pilot guns down a base ship which spins on its axis.
This way!
The celebrating Helion fighter smashed to pieces by a landing Necromunga's troop carrier. The heavily armored Necromunga soldiers file out of the ship and head across the surface of Helion Prime. More Necromunga ships land as the people of Helion Prime race through the crowded streets in the dark. Riddick stalks through the crowd as lights flash overhead. He spots a young girl. She sits alone amidst the rubble. Riddick heads up some steps and cranes his neck to look up at the Necromunga's tower. A sculpted face glowers down at him. Riddick reaches up to his head and removes his goggles. In purple night vision, he sees thousands of Necromunga fighters launch from the tower's surface. The swarming fighters have narrow bodies with thick wing-mounted guns either side. Imam carries Ziza into a deserted street.
Let's see if it's safe.
Imam leaves Ziza with Lejeune and heads across the street.
Stay back! Come, Ziza!
Lejeune pulls Ziza back into an entranceway as light from the invasion flashes through the darkness. Further down the street, a battalion of Necromunga soldiers teleports onto the ground from a troop carrier hovering above. Imam beckons to his wife and daughter to leave the entranceway.
Come.
Lejeune and Ziza duck back as the Necromunga battalion advance. A platoon of Helion soldiers open fire. Riddick grabs Imam and holds him against a pillar in the darkness as Helion soldiers shoot some advancing Necromungas. The Necromungas fight with pikes and staffs. A Necromunga holds his staff aloft. As he's shot down, he rams it into the ground. A ball of blue light rises from the top of the staff. The Helion soldiers step back. Behind the pillar.
Lejeune and Ziza.
When it's over.
Let me go. I must get to my family.
When it's over.
Surrounded by battalions of still Necromungas, the Helion soldiers look on in confusion as the blue light becomes a swirling vortex that engulfs them. Lejeune and Ziza take cover as the vortex dissipates. The Necromungas march on. The staff bears the three sculpted heads of the vast Necromunga tower. Behind the pillar, Riddick turns to Imam.
Let's get your family.
A Necromunga commander, Varko, guns down three Helion soldiers, then looks round. His sinister ridged helmet bears a death mask insignia and has a faceplate with a narrow slit for the eyes. The Necromungas follow Varko onwards as fighters tear overhead. Riddick runs through an alley followed by Imam, who leads Ziza by the hand. Lejeune brings up the rear. Riddick stops by smoldering ruins and holds up his hand. Imam leads his wife and daughter into a wrecked chamber with two alcoves opposite each other. They duck into one of the alcoves. Riddick enters the other. A stooping Lenser enters the chamber. He wears a faceplate with a bright purple light behind it. A soldier watches a screen displaying heat signatures attached to the Lenser. He guns down a surviving Helion soldier. The Necromungas move on through the chamber. More follow in from the streets outside. From his alcove, Riddick raises his goggles and leaves them on his forehead. He watches as a soldier turns his back. There's a knife in it. The Necromungas exterminate another injured Helion, then advance through the chamber. Riddick leans further back into the shadows. The Lenser turns and picks up a signal from the alcove where Imam hides. Imam ushers Lejeune and Ziza into the corner, then steps out in front of the lensing Necromunga.
Imam!
Don't follow me.
Imam turns and runs out of the chamber. Some of the soldiers turn and pursue him outside. Seemingly unnoticed, Lejeune and Ziza watch from the alcove. The Lenser remains. The hideous Heatseeker turns the corner and spots Lejeune and Ziza. The leering skull-faced Lenser closes on the quivering mother and child, whose images appear as patches of red and yellow heat. Riddick grabs the Lenser from behind and breaks his neck, then dumps him on the floor. Outside, Imam reaches a locked gate. Imam shakes the gate, then turns. The Necromunga with the knife in his back, Irgun, clears the corner and scans around. Imam's gone. Egan swings a huge axe over his head. The axe embeds into the stone wall, then Egan climbs a ladder up to a covered walkway. Imam hides behind a section of wall. He closes his eyes and breathes deeply. Egan advances. He swings his axe round casually as he approaches the section of wall where Imam is hiding. Imam steps out and stands before the necromonger, who stops.
There will be an afterlife for me. Will there be for you?
They attack simultaneously. The screen goes black. Riddick runs onto the walkway where he looks down at a troop of necromongers filing out of the square below. Riddick spots pools of blood around Imam's tooth necklace on the floor. Looking over the balcony, he spies Imam spread-eagled and eyes closed on the ground below. Flashing light from the fires around the city reflects off Riddick's face as he reaches down and picks up Imam's necklace. On the steps of the Necromonger mothership on Helion Prime, the Lord Marshal of the Necromongers strides between soldiers and various officials. The Lord Marshal wears a helmet with the three sculpted faces from the tower shaped onto its metal surface at the front and both sides. The Lord Marshal reaches up and removes the faceplate. He looks out over a vast army of soldiers who celebrate between two lines of base ships leading up to the tower in the near distance. Rows of fighters arrow towards the tower.
Let's go replenish the ranks.
The Lord Marshal, whose face is in the sculptures, smiles grimly, then makes his way down the steps, followed by his heavily armored entourage. Varko stops and turns.
Never fails to inspire, does it? Each time a dynasty falls.
Remember your place, Dame Varko.
My place is at your side, dear husband. From here till Underverse come.
The slinky Dame Varko takes her husband's arm as they head down the steps amongst the Lord Marshal's entourage. As they pass the base ships, the Lord Marshal's sculpted face appears in their grooved metal surfaces. The ships close together, forming a pathway towards a Helion dome dwarfed by the tower. The Lord Marshal enters the dome where a necromonger called the Purifier addresses a crowd.
In this verse, humans have been fractured, divided by all their many races, creeds, and mistaken fate. Our purpose is to correct that mistake. Because there is another verse.
Another universe that he has found.
Where anyone can begin anew. Where you can live free of pain. A perfect new place called Underverse.
Look around you. Every necromonger in this hall. Every one of the Legion Vast that just swept aside your defenses in one night was once like you.
Fought as feebly as you. Because every necromonger that lives today is a convert.
Egan enters.
We all began as something else. It was hard for me to accept too when I first heard these words. But I changed. I let them take away my pain.
You betrayed your faith.
And I changed. Just as you will change.
When you realize that the Underverse will be reached
only by those who have embraced the Necromonger faith. For those of you who will right now drop to your knees and ask to be purified.
We will not renounce our faith.
No one here will do what you ask. It is unthinkable. This is a world of many peoples, many religions, and we simply cannot and will not be converted.
And I'll take your soul.
The Lord Marshal reaches into the man's chest and pulls out a ghostly grey version of the man. He holds the ghost aloft as the man reaches out, aghast.
Join him!
The man collapses.
Or join me!
As the Lord Marshal looks around the room, the Helions gathered drop to their knees. Some of them hold their hands up in prayer. Varko peers out from under his helmet as Riddick who, standing up, pulls back the hood on his cape. The Lord Marshal glances round, then Varko heads towards Riddick.
This is your one chance. Take the Lord Marshal's offer and bow.
I bow to no man.
As Dame Varko looks on, handsome Varko takes off his helmet. He has a high haircut with shaved sides.
He's not a man. He's a holy half-dead who has seen the Underverse and returned with powers you can't imagine.
Look, I'm not with everyone here. But I will take a piece of him.
Riddick points at Egan, who hefts his two frightening axes and paces around.
A piece you will have.
Varko steps back and watches as Egan approaches Riddick with both axes held up in his hands. Egan swings his long axes at Riddick, who evades, then grabs the knife from his foe's back and stabs him in the chest. Egan drops. The fearsome necromonger tumbles down the steps dead. Riddick turns to walk away.
Stop him!
The Lord Marshal approaches as necromonger soldiers block Riddick's path. The Lord Marshal pulls the bloodied knife out of Egan's body and heads up the steps towards Riddick.
Egan, one of my best.
If you say so.
The Lord Marshal holds up the knife.
What do you think of this blade?
The Purifier and Varko look on as Riddick grabs the jagged ridged knife and spins it round theatrically, then holds it out handle first.
I think it's a half gram heavy on the back end.
In our faith, you keep what you kill.
As the Lord Marshal reaches for the knife, Riddick holds on, then lets go.
Take him back to my ship for mind regression.
The Lord Marshal leaves, then Varko hefts a big gun and steps up to Riddick.
Perhaps the Breeder would do it. If somebody just asked him.
Dame Varko circles Riddick.
It is a rare offer. A visit inside Necropolis.
It's been a long time since I smelled beautiful.
Let me show you the way.
Dame Varko arches her eyebrows, then takes Riddick by the hand and leads him out of the dome. A glowering Varko holds his gun in the air. Dame Varko leads Riddick through the ornate hallway of the mothership. The Purifier and Varko are amongst the group that follows. Riddick lifts his goggles and leaves them on his forehead. He stares up at the roof high above him. The interior of the main chamber is decorated with sinister statues of necromongers in various positions. Necromonger officials pace the shiny marble floor as small airships hover towards the light at the very top of the mothership. Riddick looks round. Dame Varko touches his face and looks in his eyes.
Beautiful eyes. Come.
She takes him by the hand.
The last six Lord Marshals have called this home. Magnificent, isn't it?
I might have gone a different way.
True of us all.
Prisoners hang nearby.
Converts, receiving the mark of the necromonger.
Spikes penetrate their necks.
They learn how one pain can lessen another.
Two soldiers open the double doors to the Acropolis. Dame Varko leads Riddick inside. Golden statues of Lord Marshals and a crucified rotting corpse surround the chamber.
There now. That is just perfect.
The Lord Marshal watches from a balcony above.
The more you resist them, the greater the damage will be.
She leaves.
A new one. You've brought us. A new one.
Outside the Acropolis, the Purifier pulls a lever. The knife Riddick holds slips and sticks to the magnetized floor, then Riddick drops to his knees.
Interesting, Breeder.
Ornate canopies with undulating ghostly figures atop them drop down. Oh. Riddick eyes the sinister figures within the canopies.
Making entry. This won't take long. We've entered The Riddick.
Regress.
Scanning fresh memories. Thoughts of someone called Jack.
Riddick!
She went to prison.
Now we find thoughts of an elemental.
The one race that would slow the spread of necromongers.
Furians.
Furians.
The Lord Marshal stalks across the balcony.
Where does he come from? Who are his people? These are the things I need to know.
Riddick grimaces.
We find energy. We find Furian energy. He's Furian. Furian. Furian survivor. Kill the Furian! Kill the Riddick! Kill the Riddick! Kill the Riddick! Kill the Riddick! Kill the Riddick!
Kill Riddick.
Three fully armored necromongers leap into the chamber. The purifier operates the lever and Riddick stands, then stabs a soldier with the serrated knife. As the canopies rise, Riddick lifts the soldier and redirects gunfire at a soldier above who falls. As Riddick takes the weapon and guns down another soldier, the Lord Marshal turns anxiously, then Varko leads more troops into the chamber. Varko ducks to avoid an energy blast that takes out a soldier behind him. Riddick slips out on the back of a canopy.
Find him! Whatever it takes, find him!
Riddick leaps out into the open and sprints down the middle of a smouldering deserted street. A necromonger troop carrier gives chase as it prepares to teleport troops to the ground. Hooded figures step from various hiding places below and open fire with rocket launchers. The carrier crashes. The heavy ship tips over Riddick and smashes into buildings beyond him. An orange fireball erupts. The rocket launcher gang step out behind Riddick and approach.
Let me guess, a five-man crew this time.
A couple of things you could have done better.
One of the gang removes his hood. It's Toombs who smirks.
First, trash the locator beacon inside my ship, the one you jacked. And second, and this is really the more important part, should have wasted me when you had the chance. Any questions?
Yeah. What took you so long?
One of the gang wields a net gun. Toom's ship rises into the night sky. Armor plates slide down, revealing the pilot in the cockpit. An armor plate sticks. The pilot thumps the window. The final plate of armor slides down. A smaller vessel drops from Toom's ship and hovers beneath it, engines blazing. The two ships go in different directions.
Launched.
In and out, oh, unsuspected yeah. And undetected. Damn, I love a good smash and grab.
Bounty's as good as ours.
Preparing to engage ion drive.
So, where do we drop your merc-killing ass? Who's gonna pay the most for you now? Butcher Bay.
Butcher Bay. 10 minutes every other day on the dog run. Protein waffles aren't bad.
Hey, how about Ursa Luna? Nice little double max prison.
They keep a cell open for me, just in case I drop in.
You know the problem with these joints now? Health clubs for waffle-eating pussies. Maybe we should think about upping our game here a little bit. Think about someplace truly diabolical.
What the hell's he thinking now?
He's thinking a triple max prison. A no-daylight slam, only three of them left in the system. Two of them out of range for a shitty little undercutter like this one with no legs. Leaving just one. Crematoria. That is what you had in mind, right, Toombs?
Hey, how does he know where we're going and we don't?
Dope it out.
I hate this run.
Just do it.
Don't know about this new crew of yours. They seem a bit skittish. Probably shouldn't tell them what happened to the last crew.
Toombs' team of mercs exchange glances. Toombs, smoking a cigarette, paces over to Riddick, who's restrained with his arms outstretched.
Be some slick shit killer. Now look at you. All back of the bus and shit.
Toombs grins broadly and puffs smoke from his cigarette as the ship speeds up into space. Varko crouches on a rocky outcrop overlooking the sandy surface of Helion Prime. He looks over his shoulder. then stands up. Varko heads across the dusty rocks past a ship standing nearby, surrounded by half a dozen necromongers. Varko grabs the screen from the back of a lenser. Varko watches the close-ups of space as the lenser peers up at the sky. Varko cranes his neck upwards.
I say we attack Helion 2 next. Take it straight into their teeth. It'll cost you 20,000 heads, 5 warrior ships, nothing more, I swear.
While I do prize brute force, this approach is, perhaps, more artful. Start at the end. Go straight to Helion 5, the last planet in the system. We approach from the night side. Remove these cannon first, then attack the larger placements at speed. We'll catch them on their rear flank, and in 10 days' time, the rest of those worlds will tumble before us. You see, as with most, their blind spot is right behind them.
I've located an ion trail, which leads off-world.
And you should be off-world, Varko.
I've deployed a tracker team, one of the best.
Wherever Riddick has gone, you lens him out and cleanse him. You.
You want me to take a frigate for one breeder?
Don't question it, Varko!
The two necromongers glower.
Take it on faith.
He's always been unsettled around you, the Lord Marshal. Unsteady. Perhaps because he knows he's half the warrior you are. Some say he's too artistic for the job. I wouldn't be surprised if someone promoted him soon. To full dead.
Varko turns, scowling.
Take care what you say.
Should I say it softly?
So it sounds more like conspiracy?
Why is it that when anyone breathes about the demise of him on the throne, everyone assumes a conspiracy? Why isn't that just prudent planning?
When he is ready, he will name a successor.
Who? Toll? Scales? The Purifier? None of them with the strength, the dignity of Lord Varko. You can keep what you kill. That is the Necromonger way.
Mercenaries. Elementals, necromongers. Shit, I've never been so popular. Should probably slip these chains and open up a few arteries. But why drive when you can get driven? Free ticket to crematoria. Thanks, Tombs. Got me some business there, named Jack. And once we settle up, I walk away forever. So I'll just wait. All back of the bus. For now.
Riddick sits restrained on Tomb's ship, surrounded by the sleeping mercenaries, or mercs, as they hurtle through deep space. On Helion Prime, the Varkos look on from the balcony as the Lord Marshal sits on the throne in the main chamber. Aerion appears before him.
An elemental?
But on this particular planet,
here?
One of the captives.
We find a Furian male. And why, after 30 years, should it be you?
He doesn't regard her as a captive, though. Elementals, they talk of neutrality, but they're all witches and spies. Why else would they come and go like the wind?
But where has he gone? Where is the Furian hiding now?
You be the good warrior. Go after this Riddick. I'll find out why the Lord Marshal is so threatened by him.
A planet hangs in space, lit up on one side by a burning hot sun. The other side remains in deep shadow. A caption reads, Ionian System, Planet Crematoria.
Destination reached. Unlocking manual controls.
I run a mix 700 degrees on the day side, 300 below on the night side.
Let's not get caught in the sun.
If I owned this place in hell, I'd rent this place out and live in hell.
The mercs prepare as Tomb's ship skims the atmosphere of Crematoria.
Standby. And plotted course. Good.
Hit it!
Angle of approach. Not good.
The mercs judder around as the ship bombs through the black clouds. The ship speeds above the surface of jagged blackened peaks and rivers of molten lava. A red light comes on in a landing bay as the door opens automatically. Riddick looks up as the ship slows. The ship's crew shield their eyes as the sun breaks over the horizon, bathing the cockpit in bright light. The ship lands and scrapes along the ground. The flaps rise. The girl merc, Logan, kicks a button marked Party Poppers and waits fly from the rear of Tomb's ship. The ship slows and slides into a landing bay. The ship stops dead. The mercs and Riddick rock around, then look up as the doors to the bay close behind them.
I think I shit myself.
Skittish, Tombs. Very skittish.
Outside the ship, the mercs point guns at Riddick's head as he walks down steps, bound in chains. Riddick proceeds into a corridor where he's pushed down onto a sled. He lies on his back as his hands and feet are bound. One of the mercs sits next to him.
Comfy?
With Tombs and the rest of the mercs seated out front wearing goggles, the motorized sled sets off along a track. A distance meter winds upwards as the sled reaches hair-raising levels of speed. Sparks fly off the rickety-looking track.
When the ride's over, your goggles are mine!
The merc sticks two fingers out and wipes the lenses of Riddick's goggles. The sled powers on through the tunnel hewn out of the rock. Riddick watches the lights whip past overhead and taps his foot in time as he watches the merc. Riddick lifts his knee and jolts the merc into an oncoming light. As the merc flies backwards off the speeding sled, Tombs looks round and Riddick shrugs. Tombs nudges the merc next to him. The sled jolts to a halt against some buffers. The distance meter stops at 29.4 kilometers. Riddick can't see it.
29.4 kilometers.
Steam rises from the tracks as doors open and a gang of slam guards in grey uniforms step out.
So, this is Riddick.
The slam boss spits on the floor. Riddick is tied by his wrists and lowered from a crane down a wide shaft bored through the rock. Various cells and walkways line the rock shaft. Dark grey smoke swirls around as Riddick is lowered deeper into the shaft. Swarthy convicts eye Riddick as he descends, then Tombs stops the crane.
What in the bowels of Christ are you talking about, 700K?
Don't take this one, boss.
See? Anatoly here has a nose for trouble. And this one, this Riddick guy.
Big, big trouble.
So, 700,000 is good money.
I take the money, Tombs.
Tombs stops the crane, leaving Riddick dangling above the convicts working on the ground as other inmates bang tools and cans against the railings lining the shaft. In the control room, the slam boss pours two drinks.
These are dangerous days, if you believe the talk.
Talk?
About dead planets, about some ghost army, about them.
Them?
On the crane, Riddick hauls himself upside down, then spins and drops, gaining purchase on the rope. A watching convict stares up at Riddick in astonishment. Riddick spins himself up along the rope acrobatically. The slam boss finishes his drink.
I'll run the numbers again. It takes a couple of days, probably. So, you can stay as my guest. At least here, we're all safe. Yes?
Yes, boss.
I'll give it a day.
He pours the drink away.
One.
Riddick hurtles down the rope. The force breaks his bonds and he drops to the ground. an inmate attacks him. Riddick dispatches the thug, then another leaps at him. Riddick catches him by the throat. As Riddick slams the second thug to the floor, a third attacks but gets yanked back by a chain. Riddick looks up as the thug smashes face first into the rocks on the ground, rolling up the chain around her arm. An attractive, sweaty girl prisoner shoots him an alluring look as he rips off his goggles.
There are inmates and there are convicts. A convict has a certain code, and he knows to show a certain respect. An inmate, on the other hand, pulls the pin on his fellow man. Does the guards work for them? Bring shame to the game. So, which are you gonna be?
Me?
Riddick dons his goggles again.
I'm just passing through.
The bearded convict, Tony, turns as Riddick struts past him.
Welcome to Crematoria.
Riddick enters a cell. The alluring girl convict holds sharp pliers to Riddick's back.
How do I get eyes like that?
You gotta kill a few people.
Did that. Did a lot of that.
Riddick grabs her.
Sent to a slam.
One where they tell you you'll never see daylight again? Only there wasn't any doctor here who could shine my eyes, not even for 20 menthol cools. Was there anything you said that was true?
Riddick lifts her by the groin.
What are you gonna do, huh? Go for the sweet spot.
Remember who you're talking to. Jack.
Jack's dead. She was weak. She couldn't cut it.
The girl kicks a light bulb, then slashes at Riddick with a blade between her teeth and escapes his grasp. Riddick looks around, then spots her creeping towards the cell along a bridge outside.
The name's Kira now. And I'm a new animal.
Kira leaps off the side of the rickety bridge into the pit below. Riddick runs his fingers over the slight cut on his cheek, then looks up at the growling noise. Riddick looks around at the grimy jail. On Helion Prime, Aerion's bound by a flail of sharp spikes as she descends sandy steps towards a ship outside. Four Necromunger guards flank her with spears. Dame Varka approaches through the arched body of the ship, which Aerion boards. The ship takes off.
I'm so glad I could steal you away for a moment. Doesn't it strike you odd? Here we have the current Lord Marshal, destroying entire societies, and yet he can't bring himself to kill one stranded elemental. Why is that?
You don't pray to our god. You pray to no god, I hear.
Elementals? We calculate.
Don't we all?
But now let's have first things first. What of Riddick?
In truth, I don't know where he went.
In truth, I'm more interested in where he came from.
She opens a hatch beneath Aerion.
Watch your step. I've always wondered, doesn't air elemental fly? Now do me a favor. Calculate the odds of you getting off this planet alive. And now cut them in half.
No, we can't fly. But we glide very well. Save your threats, Necromonger. I would have told you about Riddick for the asking. It concerns a foretelling, a prediction now more than 30 years old. A young warrior once consulted a seer, of sorts, and was told that he would die at the hands of a Furian. So he waged a private war on the planet Furia, killing all he could find. This was before he became Lord Marshal, of course. That massacre should have ended the matter. But now it seems one Furian had a knack for escape.
On Crematoria, Riddick clings to a slimy wall. A knackered-looking PA kicks into life. Nervous-looking slam guards release two lion-like black beasts with spiky hides and sharp fangs.
Here they come!
Guards descend on lowered ropes and goad the colour-changing beasts by hitting them with axes as the convicts scatter along the metal walkways. The beasts scramble down the rock face. Chiseled, bearded Tony shouts.
I've got that herd! Is that all we are to you?
The guards on the lowering ropes scan around as Kira pushes past convicts fleeing in the opposite direction. She stops. One of the beasts pads towards her. Kira eyeballs the beast as its face flashes red, then she leaps off the walkway. She grabs a rope and slides down it as the beast claws the air. Kira drops onto a lower walkway and heads off. As convicts chain themselves into cells, a fleeing inmate is taken down by a beast. As the first beast rips the convict apart, a terrified-looking inmate is attacked by the second beast. Prisoners shake with fear and grimace behind bars. One of the beasts prowls a walkway behind a curtain of gushing water. Riddick is bound to the wall behind the water. He eyes the path of the beast on the other side. The beast sticks its head through the curtain of water and leers at Riddick. The animal is covered in a cross between wet fur and dinosaur scales. Riddick peers closely at the beast as it bares its fangs. Riddick stares through his glowing silver irises as the beast's face ripples and changes colour through red to brown. Tony looks through the bars of his cell and spots Riddick seated calmly with the beast, which changes from brown to black. Riddick pats the deadly beast, which nuzzles his leg. Tony looks on. The creature stalks away, then turns. It goes for Tony, but hits the bars and pads away.
It's an animal thing.
Guards encroach on Kira, who holds her hands up as they shine lights.
Check her for me. She's always got a blade somewhere.
Kira turns to face the wall and leans forward as a goatee-sporting slam guard pats her down. As the goateed guard fondles her shapely backside, his fellow guards grin and leer. Kira kicks a double blade from the heel of her boot. She backheels him in the groin with the knife, then disarms him and slaps him backwards with his own tall hammer. The other guards gawp. The guards attack and Kira sees them off, holding one by the throat with the hammer. A bald guard wades in. He knocks her to the floor, then a burly guard approaches. He strangles her from behind.
I don't think she likes being touched. I'd take my wounded and go, while you still can.
The burly guard releases Kira and eyeballs Riddick.
Is there a name for this private little world of yours? Huh? What happens there when we don't just run away? You'll kill us with a soup cup?
Tea, actually.
What's that?
Riddick swigs his tea.
I'll kill you with my teacup.
Riddick puts the grimy-looking metal teacup upside down on a nearby rock as the burly guard smirks and turns to the bald guard. A floppy-haired guard looks on, as does Kira.
You know the rule. They aren't dead if they're still on the books.
The burly guard draws a knife from his belt and rushes Riddick, who grabs the cup and rams it into the guard's chest. The burly guard falls. The burly guard drops his knife and stares ahead, dead. The remaining two guards prepare to fight.
Come on.
Riddick slowly bends down and picks a tiny straight key off the floor. He shows the guards, then places it on the rock. They pick up the injured goateed guard. Both guards glance nervously at Riddick as they back away with their unconscious mate. Kira approaches Riddick and crouches on the ground.
Death by teacup.
She removes the bloodied cup from the burly guard's chest.
Damn. Why didn't I think of that?
I didn't come here to play who's the better killer.
But it's my favorite game. Haven't you heard?
I heard you came looking for me.
Is that all? Then you missed the good part. Hooked up with some mercs out of Lupus 5. So they take me on, teach me the trade, give me a good cut. They slave me out, Riddick. Do you know what that could do to you when you're that age? When you're 12 years old?
I told you to stay in New Mecca. Did you not listen? I had mercs on my neck. I'll always have mercs on my neck. I spent 5 years on a frozen heap just to keep them away from you. And you go and sign up with the same fake badges I wanted to cut you up and use you for bait.
What are you pitching, Riddick? That you cutting out was a good thing? That you had my ass covered from halfway across the universe?
You signed with mercs.
Riddick looks solemn and stalks away.
There was nobody else around.
Riddick stops on the walkway as Kira heads back to her cell. Riddick heads off through the prison. On the surface of Crematoria, night falls. In the control room, the Slam boss watches a thermometer.
Let's pop the cork. Get some fresh air.
A guard kicks a pedal which releases a locking mechanism. Another guard operates a lever. A giant screw turns. The guard's quarters rise up on a platform through the center of the deep shaft. Toombs enters the control room. Thick metal shutters open as the control room reaches the planet's surface. Flaps open at the side of the control room, sending dust clouds filtering out into the night. Swirls of dust are sucked up the prison shaft. Riddick glances up.
So they do go topside. To swap out air. Interesting.
Who the hell are you?
When it happens, it'll happen fast. Stay on my leg when I cut fence or die here.
Nobody outs this place. Nobody.
Riddick heads off, leaving Tony sitting on the ledge.
He ain't nobody.
Tony looks up. Kira lies on a ledge above him. The flaps and shutters close rapidly as the flaming sun rises over the jagged horizon of Crematoria. Toombs and Logan look round as the thermometer rises rapidly past 500 degrees. The room shakes, rattling bottles on a nearby table. Toombs looks round skittishly. Toombs and Logan eye the thermometer.
700 degrees.
A raging fireball engulfs the ashen surface of the planet, blotting out the sun.
Jesus. That's some sunrise.
A matte black Necromunga base ship glides through deep space. Stars and wispy purple space clouds illuminate the darkness. On board, the Purifier wears a long black leather trench coat as he approaches Varko on the bridge. Varko ignores the Purifier, who wears a metal skullcap and has healed puncture wounds in his neck.
They can be quite a test, these deep runs. A test of our inner selves. Don't you find that true?
Varko turns and glances at the Purifier.
Some men do.
Just being so far from the Armada, the mind can start to fill with strange thoughts, doubts. Don't you ever have doubts, Varko?
Varko has his back to the Purifier.
Doubts?
About the campaign? About Lord Marshall?
Varko turns.
First and always, I am a Necromunga commander. So if you're here to test my loyalty, you succeed only in testing my patience.
Oh, no. No, that's not why I'm here at all.
The Purifier leaves the bridge where helmeted Necromungas fondle glowing white dome-shaped scanners with their hands. On Crematoria, Toombs and his mercs enter the control room where the guards play a board game.
Good news first. Talk things over with my amigos here. We'll cut you in for $775,000.
Toombs smiles.
All right. What's the bad news? You closed the local whorehouse?
No. The bad news is worse than that. Much worse. Our pilot, he saw this. It crossed a shipping lane.
The Necromunga base ship.
Any idea what this might be?
A guard takes a bullet from the game board.
Never saw nothing like it.
The ship charged back to Helion Prime. You know, Anatoly's got a nose for trouble. And he thinks trouble follows you here.
Look, we dusted our tracks and got the hell out of there. There is no way we didn't lose them.
Them?
The mercs look round anxiously as the guards wield and load their weapons.
This is my prisoner. Mine.
Nobody else's. And I want my money now.
So, you stole a prisoner. From them!
Tombs elbows the slam boss. As Logan opens fire with dual handguns, the convicts watch the flashing base of the control room. The goateed guard opens fire with a high-powered rifle as Logan runs from the room. Logan fires back through the doorway as the bald guard fires from the floor. The merc pilot shoots at a guard as Tombs leaps onto the rope and drops into the shaft. Riddick and Kira observe. Tombs spots Riddick. Logan fires at a guard. Logan ducks and narrowly avoids a rocket fired by the wild-eyed, floppy-haired guard. The explosion throws Logan across the corridor. The prisoners grow restless as Riddick eyeballs Tombs, who hangs by his arms from the rope. Riddick steps back, hunches his shoulders, and grips the cell bars.
Riddick! No!
Riddick runs and leaps the shaft, grabbing Tombs' utility jacket and hauling himself level with the merc.
Should have taken the money, Tombs.
Riddick easily climbs the rope, stepping on Tombs' head as he goes. Riddick enters the control room via the hole in the floor. The room is a wreck of smashed furniture and sparking electrics. Bodies litter the floor. Riddick tears off his goggles, then looks around. He picks the handheld scanner off the floor and examines the images of the Necromunga's base ship. Riddick stops, then takes a step backwards. He reaches for a lever. The cell doors swing open. Riddick approaches the exit. Logan sits injured nearby. Riddick slaps a button, but it doesn't work. As Riddick tries the button again, Tony leads the convicts up the stairs. Riddick picks the scanner off the floor and switches to view the platform they arrived on. The sled is a mangled wreck. He spots the guards fleeing along the walkways. The convicts enter the control room.
Mercs. Some guards here, but this can't be all of them.
Check the slots in the back. And be careful.
Don't bother. Guards ain't there. They figured out the Necros are coming for me.
Kira leans on a doorway nearby.
The plan was to clean the bank, ghost the Mercs, break wide through the tunnel. And then somebody got a lucky shot off with this rocket launcher here and took out the sled. Guards took off on foot, but rigged the door so no one could follow. They'll take the one ship in the hangar and leave everyone else here to die.
How come you know all this shit? You weren't even here.
Because it was my plan.
Muscly Riddick operates levers and gears in the control room, then the round platform rises up to the surface and the thick metal shutters slide open. Riddick gazes through the window at the planet's charred, steaming surface.
I know that look. I don't even have to see your face when I know that look. You want to run the surface while they run the tunnel below.
It's moving in the right direction. We could make it. Stay behind the night. Ahead of the sun.
There's gonna be one speed.
Riddick stands.
Mine. If you can't keep up, don't step up. You'll just die.
Toombs is locked into a tiny cage sandwiched between the two caged beasts who thrash around beside him.
I should have taken the money.
Riddick leads a gang of convicts out onto Crematoria's blackened surface at night. They head across the jagged rocks. Kira follows behind Riddick, then comes Tony and the three convicts. The surviving guards, including the bald guard and Anatoly, the floppy-haired guard, head along a walkway underground. Anatoly stops for a moment and looks anxious, then carries on. Above ground, Riddick and the gang leap across cracks in the shiny black surface filled with molten lava. From space, half of the planet is on fire. The encroaching cutoff point is right behind Riddick and the running convicts. The guards run along the walkway underground. Anatoly stops and looks back.
Boss!
They look up a metal ladder.
I'm there.
Take a look.
Because Anatoly says so.
Because his nose says so.
Riddick leaps from a rock and heads through a narrow pass. Fire and steam seep through cracks in the rock as the gang lose trace of Riddick.
Riddick! Riddick!
Kira stops in her tracks.
Riddick.
Riddick's cloak drops from above. Kira looks up. Riddick beckons her onwards.
Go! Climb here! Go!
The convicts climb the rocks. A bead of sweat slides down Tony's face. He turns. The sunrise on the horizon is reflected in the pupil of his right eye. Tony turns and hurries over the rocks. The bald guard opens the hatch and climbs the ladder. The bald guard reaches the open hatch, which rests like a canopy above him. He clocks the horizon, then spots the convicts on the run. He aims his weapon at them, then the slam boss stops him from firing it.
Riddick. Go!
The guards descend the ladder and close the charred hatch.
Heading right for the volcano fields. We're going for our ship.
No chance until they get to the hangar first. No chance!
The convicts head towards a wall of black smoke. They hold their hands over their mouths as they run.
Next one! Next hole! We'll catch him there!
Underground, the guards sprint along the walkway. Above ground, ash rains down from the sky as Riddick leads the convicts under a skeletal canopy through a landscape covered in thick grey ash. The guards open another hatch. Ash flies from the hatch's roof as floppy-haired Anatoly peers out and aims down his gun sight. Kira and the convicts advance through the falling ash.
No more run for you.
The slam boss appears behind him. Anatoly glances round.
Where did the big guy go?
Riddick stands on the roof of the hatch above them. He swings a heavy weight through the gap. Anatoly, his face smashed, drops down the ladder. The convicts open fire.
Close it!
The slam boss returns fire, then the hatch closes and he slides down the ladder as Kira advances outside. Kira kicks the roof of the hatch and glares at Riddick, who looks back at her over his shoulder, then runs off through the falling ash. Kira follows, then Tony. A convict lies dead on the ground. Riddick and Kira scramble up a rock face.
What was that? You don't care if you live or die?
If I kill them first, not really.
Maybe I do. Keep moving!
Riddick heads along a charred tree trunk-shaped spit of rock that spans a fiery chasm. Kira picks herself up and heads after him. The remaining convicts follow close behind. Riddick and the convicts climb a sheer cliff with their bare hands. They drag themselves up rock by rock. Riddick leaps sideways, sending loose chippings tumbling downwards. Riddick looks down, then up, and hauls himself higher. Kira makes solid progress over the rotten-looking yellow rocks. Tony climbs quickly as a sweaty, stubbly convict looks down nervously. Riddick reaches a ridge. Riddick stares towards the hangar marked by a prominent diagonal-pointed rock a relatively short distance away. While adjusting the knives and a harness on his back, Riddick turns to eye the sunrise.
Kira? Kira?
What?
Get that ass moving!
As Riddick helps drag the convicts onto the ridge, the light from the sunrise pours over Riddick's muscly body. He looks up. The sunlight tears across the jagged surface of crematoria. Riddick retreats hurriedly into a shaded crevice. Kira, caught in the sunlight, backs into a narrow crack. The stubbly convict slips down into barely adequate shade. Kira reaches out from her hiding place and touches the rock, but quickly removes her hand as the rock's surface sizzles.
Riddick!
Riddick stands still as Kira looks up below.
Said about not caring if I lived or died. You knew I was kidding, right?
Dirt-stained Riddick looks across at Tony, who hunkers in a shaded gap.
Lance, mate.
The gigantic wall of fire spits and explodes forward across the charred landscape towards the cliff. Kira stands and eyes the fire.
Your rope.
It's too late. We're never gonna make it.
Your rope! Give me your rope! And your water, all of it! Stay in the shadow of the mountain! Don't wait for me, run!
They run. Riddick pours the water on himself, then sprints off with the rope over his shoulder. The fireball hits the base of the cliff.
Riddick!
Riddick secures the rope and leaps from the rocks as the fireball climbs higher. In the nick of time, Riddick grabs Kira on the upward swing. The stubbly convict looks surprised as the fireball engulfs him. Riddick and Kira glide over a ridge as the fire sweeps into the sky. In the shadow of the cliff behind them, Kira sits up and examines her dirty but unblemished skin. She looks at Riddick, who turns, steam rising from his rippling torso. He stares down at Kira. She mouths wordlessly and breathes deeply. Underground, the slam guards run through the damp caves along the rickety metal walkway.
Where the hell is that hangar?
Tony and the remaining convict clamber over blackened rocks. Tony spots the hangar.
There it is.
Riddick grabs Tony's leg, then Tony looks around.
Listen.
Tony glances round at Riddick, who looks at Kira, then crawls forward. They creep over a ridge and spot a Necromunga landing craft as it hovers by the hangar, then takes off as troops file towards the closed entrance. A helmetless Varko sneers and scans around. Two lenses lean towards the hangar door as the soldiers wait behind them. On the ridge...
Let me guess. Necros.
One commander. Five captains. And a whole lot of Necro firepower.
Shit! I hate not being the bad guys.
The hideous lenses turn to face the ridge and peer through their purple face masks. The heat signatures of Riddick and the convicts show up on the scanners. Varko turns to glare at the ridge, then signals subtly for the soldiers to advance. The purifier loiters nearby as the wall of fire advances in the near distance.
I figure we get 3 minutes before the sun hits us again. Burns out this whole valley.
Wait.
We gonna do this or not?
Just wait.
As armored necromongers scale the ridge, the heavy blast door to the hangar opens, sliding into the rocks above and below. The startled slam guards stop loading supplies as the necromongers aim their weapons at them. A lenser squeals. A guard shoots the lenser in the face, then the necromongers return fire. The necromongers heading up the ridge turn back.
Remember that favorite game of yours?
Who's the better killer?
Let's play.
Come on!
A necromonger captain turns back as Riddick leaps from above, wielding a blade pulled from his boot. Riddick stabs the captain, takes his gun, blasts a soldier, eyeballs the glowering Varko, then advances on another soldier. Varko watches the convicts fight.
Kira!
Riddick spins Kira around, her heel blade takes two necros down. Varko turns to see the guards take heavy fire in the hangar. Varko turns back as Riddick takes the curved knives from his back harness and advances on the necromonger soldiers. Riddick slashes the soldiers with lightning fast moves as the convicts use their guns to take down more of them. The purifier holds a hand over his eyes and observes the approaching sunlight. The tip of the diagonal rock above the hangar begins to glow. Varko shoots the convict who flies backwards. Tony shouts, then turns on Varko and opens fire. The guards defend the hangar as Riddick reaches out to Kira. He throws her over his shoulder and she stabs a captain. In the hangar, the slam boss is shot. Riddick leaps onto a soldier and stabs him with both blades. Riddick lurches forward. He pummels two soldiers, then slams a third to the ground. He catches a falling knife and slashes an advancing soldier. Riddick chucks the blade into the eye of a soldier grappling with Kira as the sun lights up the rock above the hangar. Varko takes aim at Riddick. Riddick sent flying. As Riddick lands in a heap, Varko advances. Tony leaps out and fells Varko, who drops his gun. The pair eyeball each other as they rise. Varko spins towards Tony. Varko punches Tony to the floor, then glowers as he lifts Tony above his head. Varko pulls Tony onto his bended knee and discards the convict's broken body. Varko stands and heads over to Riddick. Kira clutches a spear and watches from the nearby ridge as the sunlight clears the jagged mountains and blazes towards them. The glare lights up Riddick's face as Varko covers his eyes. Kira drops behind a rock. The necromonger ship swoops down from the shining sky and hovers before Kira. The necromongers hurry up the rocks towards the landing ship. Kira cowers behind the rock as necromongers flee past her. She spots the purifier loitering by the hangar as Riddick lies still on the ground. Kira turns with her back to the rock, then gets up. Smoke rises from Riddick's prone body. The purifier reaches down and drags Riddick across the ground. In the hangar, the purifier removes his jewelry and places it on a box. Riddick wakes and stands to observe the landing ship take off in the fiery sky outside. The ship rises through the billowing red clouds. Riddick's gaze follows the ship, then he looks down.
I was supposed to deliver a message to you. If Akko failed to kill you. A message from the Lord Marshal himself. He tells you to stay away from Helion. Stay away from him. And in return, you'll be hunted no more.
The purifier picks up the serrated knife.
But Varko will most likely report you as dead. So this is your chance. Your chance to do what no man has ever done.
The girl. Where will they take her?
He grips his throat.
After the Lord Marshal, of course.
Riddick lets go of the purifier, who frowns.
I've done unbelievable things in the name of a faith that was never my own. And he'll do to her what he did to me.
The purifier takes a step forward, then turns to Riddick.
The necromonger in me warns you not to go back. But the Furian in me...
Riddick looks up sharply at the purifier, who smiles.
Hopes you won't listen. We all began as something else.
The purifier drops the knife at Riddick's feet, then smiles again and walks away. Riddick watches the purifier walk straight out of the hangar's open doors and into the light outside. A fireball strikes the purifier, knocking him off balance. The purifier holds up an arm which instantly melts away, then he drops smoldering to his knees as his flesh glows and flies away as ash on the wind. The purifier stands for a moment, then collapses into a melting blob. In the hangar, Riddick picks up the knife. He studies the serrated edge of the weapon as he stands in front of a small spaceship. Riddick looks into the light. The spaceship speeds over the planet's surface, then up into the black sky. A caption reads, Helion Prime, Necromonger fighters power through the orange sky past the glowering faces atop the tower.
I have lost a purifier, but I have gained a first among commanders. It is overdue, isn't it, that we acknowledge your many accomplishments, your steady faith, and above all, your unflinching loyalty.
The Lord Marshal hands an ornate helmet to the kneeling Varko, as Dame Varko looks on.
Obedience without question, loyalty to Lundever's come.
Well done, Varko. This is a day of days.
The Lord Marshal heads past Varko, followed by his personal guards. Varko rises, clasping the First Commander's helmet. Watching generals turn and head out of the main chamber, a door opens in a room nearby.
Now, tell me if it's true. Tell me the Furian is gone and I can close this campaign without hearing his footsteps.
If he is dead, I sense I'm not far from the same fate, being of no further use here. Shouldn't I tell you that Riddick is still alive?
Don't try me, Arion. I could plow you under with the rest of Helion Prime.
No one really knows the future.
Then tell me the odds. That Varko met with success. That I will now be the one who can finish it all, conquering or converting all the remaining worlds of man. Tell me it's true, Arion. And maybe I'll save your homeworld. For last.
Arion stares and lowers her hand.
The odds are good.
The Lord Marshal smirks and turns.
Riddick is still alive.
He pauses momentarily, glances over his shoulder, then stalks out. The doors close on Arion. She sits alone in the dark. Outside on the ruined streets, Lejeune leads Ziza back home through their smashed doorway. Ziza finds Imam's tooth necklace hanging on the door handle. She removes the necklace and scans around. In the control room...
Ascension protocol!
We still have numbers out there, Lord Marshal. Sweep teams, recon ships. They would be hard-pressed to make it back.
The Lord Marshal crashes across the room, sending the commander flying.
Get my armada off the ground!
Dame Varko stands on the mothership steps and suspiciously eyes the base ships leading up to the tower. Troops hurry across the dusty ground towards the base ships as they prepare for takeoff. The crowd on the steps heads back inside the mothership. helmeted soldier knocks Dame Varco as he passes behind her. Her eyes widen and she wears a furious expression as she follows him inside. The ship's doors close. Dame Varco pushes past people as she looks for the soldier. The soldier turns, revealing glowing silver eyes through his faceplate. Dame Varco's eyes widen. As a crowd passes, the soldier disappears. In her quarters...
I mean here, on this very ship.
Could you be wrong? Mind fabricates fear. Could you be wrong?
Not so wrong as you when you left him alive. It's twice a mistake. Not only your failure, but now the report of success. How do we salvage this? How?
Lord Marshall's got to be warned.
You will never see the Underverse. He will kill us both before our due time. I say give Riddick his chance.
Varco turns and scowls at his wife.
If he is half of what you think, he can at least wound the Lord Marshal. And that is when you must act.
Just to take his place, just to keep what I kill.
That is the Necromunger way.
It is not enough!
Then you do it for the faith. If he has fear, he has weakness. If he has weakness, Varco.
He is unworthy of lordship.
We do it for all Necromungers. This can still be a day of days, but the timing must be flawless.
The vast Necromunga mothership takes off and rises into the orange sky above Helion Prime. Black dust rises and swirls around its base. In the control room, the Lord Marshal watches the floor, which relays images of the base ships taking off. He smiles and looks satisfied as crew members work busily behind him.
Final protocol. Execute on my order.
We're done with this world.
A miniature version of the tower rises from a control panel. On the ground, Lejeune looks up at the sky from her shattered doorway. She heads out onto the debris-strewn street as the base ships power through the sky above them. Lejeune looks at Ziza, who stands on the balcony watching the ships fly by.
Go inside. Ziza, go inside.
Ziza heads inside the smashed up house as the Necromunga base ships retreat across the sky by the dozen. The tower plunged into the ground at the center of the city begins to open. As a ball of blue energy surges from the tower, the plunger rises in the control room on the mothership. Disguised as a guard, Riddick heads through the ship. He walks down a corridor, eyes glowing in the darkness. Riddick passes a lenser. The lenser stops in its tracks. The gnarled, stooping lenser spins and spots the heat signature through Riddick's armor. A soldier carries the dead lenser into the control room and dumps its body.
We found this lenser dead.
The Lord Marshal looks down.
Show me his last sight.
They plug the lenser screen into a control panel and a heat image of a disguised Riddick thumping the lenser in the face appears before the Lord Marshal.
Commander Tor.
He won't escape twice.
The glowering Toll marches off as the Lord Marshal unplugs the lenser's screen. He steps between two short pillars and winds the connecting cord around his hands with a sneer on his face. He looks down at the soldiers and officers filing through the main chamber. Varco and Dame Varco stride along a corridor. Commander Toll heads along another corridor, clutching a knife in his hand. Toll stares into the Acropolis where smoke surrounds the canopies. He heads off. Riddick peers through a latticework window in the Acropolis and watches the necromongers conduct their search. His eyes narrow as the Lord Marshal steps into view. Riddick ducks down as two helmeted guards stand outside the Acropolis doors. One of the guards glances sideways at the sound. The guards look at each other. As the guards turn, Riddick stabs them through the lattice work. Riddick busts through the doors, pulling the knives free, then leaps at the Lord Marshal, who turns and deflects. Riddick lands in a heap amongst scattering officials. Soldiers head towards Riddick.
Stay your weapons! He came for me.
The crowd parts. Riddick grabs the knife and rises onto his hands and knees. Riddick glowers at the Lord Marshal. Beside the powerful necromonger, a young girl pulls back the hood of her cowl. It's Kira. She stares ahead blankly. The Lord Marshal steps towards Riddick, who stands.
Consider this.
Varko and Dame Varko arrive on the balcony and watch from above.
If you fall here, now, you'll never rise. But if you choose another way, the Necromonger way.
Toll arrives behind Riddick as the Lord Marshal beckons Kira towards him. She complies.
Go to him.
Kira steps across the marble floor and arrives in front of Riddick. Her once tousled hair is tied back neatly.
It hurts. At first. But after a while, the pain goes away just as they promise.
With me, Kira.
There's a moment when you can almost see the Underverse through his eyes. He makes it sound perfect. A place where anyone could start over.
Are you with me, Kira?
She wanders past Riddick, staring at the floor. He turns with a somber expression and watches her go. Kira heads through the massed ranks of soldiers.
Convert now, or fall forever.
Riddick grips the knife.
I know.
Riddick throws the knife. It hits the Lord Marshal in the neck. The Lord Marshal falls.
Not yet.
He rises with an intense stare. The Lord Marshal reveals the knife held tightly in his right hand. He glances at it.
Been a long time since I've seen my own blood.
The Lord Marshal sweeps the knife slowly before him, and the crowd makes a wide circle. He drops the knife. The Lord Marshal speeds towards Riddick and knocks him flying backwards into a pillar. As Riddick collapses on the floor, Aerion glides into the main chamber and watches behind two guards. Riddick rises, looks furious, and advances on the sneering Lord Marshal, who evades. The pair swing punches. The Lord Marshal lands two kicks. The Lord Marshal moves at lightning speed. Riddick's punched again. The Lord Marshal lands a right on Riddick's jaw, then somersaults over his head and lands behind Riddick, who throws an elbow that misses. Riddick manages a couple of blocks, then the glowering Lord Marshal ups his speed and hit rate. The lumbering Furion looks dazzled by the ghostly trails and quickfire attacks. Dame Varko winces as Riddick hits the deck.
These are his last moments.
The Lord Marshal clenches his fists, then reaches out with ghostly hands and grasps Riddick's head. Riddick grimaces as the Lord Marshal grips his face.
Give me your soul, Furion!
Riddick's ghostly soul grits its teeth, then Riddick leaps up and uppercuts the Lord Marshal. The Lord Marshal flies backwards as Riddick stands. The Lord Marshal leaps onto a statue and dislodges a golden spear, then jumps back down to the floor. He swings the spear. Riddick evades. The Lord Marshal thrusts the spear. The Lord Marshal jabs Riddick in the stomach with the blunt spear. He lifts Riddick off the floor as the muscly Furion grips the spear shaft. The Lord Marshal runs across the floor carrying Riddick on the end of his spear. He drops Riddick, then takes his legs out with a swing. Riddick's thrown to the ground. The Lord Marshal ditches the blunt spear and takes a sharp one from a nearby guard. As the Lord Marshal pulls the spear against Riddick's neck from behind, Varko takes an axe from a weapons rack on the balcony behind him. Riddick spots the knife lying nearby.
You're not the one to bring me down.
The Lord Marshal yells and drops Riddick as Kira thrusts a spear through his chest. Riddick looks up from the floor. The Lord Marshal punches Kira onto a spike.
Now! Kill the beast while it's wounded!
As Kira slides off the spike onto the floor and the Lord Marshal drops to his knees, Varko leaps from the balcony wielding the axe and spots Riddick, who looks deep into Kira's eyes. Varko advances on the injured Lord Marshal.
Help me, Varko. Kill him.
Riddick grabs the knife as Varko stands above the kneeling Lord Marshal, whose face drops.
Varko.
Varko wields the gigantic axe above his head.
Forgive me.
Flawless.
Dame Varko turns her back as the Lord Marshal's soul reaches for a nearby spear, but stops as Riddick puts his foot on it and draws the knife. Time slows down as Varko swings the axe down on the wide-eyed Lord Marshal. The Marshal's body catches up with his soul as Varko misses and hits the floor. Riddick stabs the Lord Marshal in the head. Dame Varko turns and gawps.
No.
Riddick breaks the knife off at the handle and knees the Lord Marshal in the face. He drops.
No!
Aerion smiles grimly at the scene as Varko spins the axe in his hands and turns round to look at Riddick behind him. Riddick holds Kira in his arms. Her eyes are closed.
Are you with me, Kira?
I was always with you. I was.
She opens her eyes and looks up at Riddick. A trickle of blood runs from the corner of Kira's mouth as her head lolls backwards. Riddick, a blood stain running down the side of his face, carefully lays Kira back on the floor. A glistening silver tear falls from Kira's eye. Riddick puts a gloved hand over his own eyes. Varko glowers from across the floor. Riddick sits back on the Lord Marshal's throne with his hand thrown across his face. The necromongers advance, led by Varko, wielding the enormous three-headed axe. Riddick slowly draws his hand clear and peers through his silver eyes at the necromongers standing before him. He sits back in the throne with Kira lying dead at his feet. Varko, the gathered necromonger soldiers, captains and generals drop to their knees in the chamber. The chamber is filled wall to wall with kneeling necromongers. Varko looks up from under his furrowed brow.
You keep what you kill.
Riddick looks at Aerion, who stands nearby.
Now what would be the odds of that? This dark army at the feet of a lone outlaw. And the fate of the rest of the universe. Well, not even I dare to calculate that.
The light descends back into the tower on Helium Prime as the Necromunga ships disperse. ITFC audio description by Alex Newman.